Hello, everyone. This is Regine L. Sawyer from the Blossom and Brew podcast. I'm on with my co-host, the Ilka Pinero.
Hello, babies.
And for today's show, we have some special guests. I'm really proud to announce them. They are the Blurred Galaxy Magazine team. The Blurred Galaxy Magazine had a soft launch yesterday, and it will have a full launch on July 22nd. And I'm so pleased to welcome Marquita Lestar, Vinay Matsalia, and Janita Davis. Hey, ladies, how are you doing?
Hello.
Hi.
I wasn't sure if we were supposed to say something after our names or wait for everybody.
You did good, Marquita. You on point.
Okay.
You are. You definitely are. The shit.
Thank you.
So, ladies, I'm going to jump in here and I'm going to be the proxy for all of the folks out in the streets who may not yet have been gifted the deeper acquaintance of you. So please tell us what you do and what you're about and what it do. Pretend we haven't met.
Okay. I don't think nobody is saying much. My name is Vinay. I'm an educator and I'm a journalist. I've written primarily in the Blurred sphere. I also am a board member for the BeBlack.org organization. Basically, what I do is everything Black. That's just kind of my swan call. I'm all about anti-racism and education and journalism. That's what I do. I do a lot of trainings in that particular sphere. I'm about uplift of the Black community. I'm about all things about community coming together, building and being better. That's Vinay in a nutshell.
Ha. Snaps.
All the snaps. You want to go next, Marquita?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I'm Janita Davis. I am one of many things. Like Vinay, I'm a film critic, a writer. I do a lot of cultural criticism. I'm also a professor. I teach English classes. And I pretty much, my writing that I do, which is all over, it pretty much centers on the criticism of culture, pop culture, and social issues, social justice, and how it all kind of wraps up and kind of informs one another. I love pointing all that stuff out. I am a newly minted member of the African American Film Critics Association and the Chicago Indie Critics.
Congratulations. Uh-huh. Yeah. That.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm also a member of the NABJ. I pretty much, and for Blurred Galaxy, I mean, this is like, you know, going to be an amazing, I think, process. The content is going to be kind of along the same lines as some of the stuff that I like to report on, you know, the social issues in pop culture and how it affects us.
Hot.
Very.
That tracks.
Okay. That'd be fun.
So I guess it's my turn. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure everybody's done. Yeah. So I'm Marquita Lestar, culture kid, journalist, interdimensional sparkle pony.
Yes.
Of the interwebs. I'm really big on like intersecting and overlapping identities because that's who I am in a nutshell. You know, I embrace my weird and I'm all here about helping others embrace their weird. It's a superpower. It gives us our gifts. It makes us different. I encourage difference and the embrace of difference. And that's the point of view that I would like to bring also to Blurred Galaxy, that, you know, our weird is marvelous, it is fabulous, and it's empowering, and it's not something we should run away from, and that, you know, our Blackness comes with that too. Mm-hmm. I feel like the misconceptions about nerds, blurreds on the outside is that, you know, were somehow running away from it. I know that was my personal experience. People are like, well, but what are you teaching them about Black culture? I'm like, that most of it comes from us. Like, you know, your trend of music, your fashion trends, your lingo. Yep. That's us. And yeah, like it's our birthright, and it's not alternative for us to be here and in these spaces. It shouldn't be like, oh, how do we fit? And so in that regard, I'm quite the militant blurred. I'm like, let me give you a history lesson on that real quick. So yes, that's what I'm bringing to it. That's what I'm about. And hopefully that's what Blur Galaxy is going to be about.
I love it. I love it. So let's get into.
I love that.
Right? I do too.
I love that.
Segue like, into how Blur Galaxy was born. So, yeah, let's touch more on that. How was Blur Galaxy born? How was it birthed into this world?
Yes.
Well, okay, great segue. Because that's exactly it. I think I've said it before. I've read things that are covering the blurred space and us kind of coming into our own, and somehow people, it pretty much just coming down to other people noticing us and saying, hey, there's something here, and it's always been something here. And I guess we've gotten where we are starting to own our culture and identity, and say, we're going to take up space. We're going to let you know where that's from. We're going to let you know that we are doing these things. And so now it's kind of forced people, instead of like trying to sneak in and appropriate stuff. It's like, oh, well, now we got to give credit due to where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. There's that. And then there's what's going on in current events, current affairs in the world, right? And I said, you know, as a blur, you know, it ain't always, you know, what game is coming out, what movie, what I'm going to cosplay as, or I'm getting lost in the stars and the science. It's also, you know, again, that B being there for Blackness and what's going on in the streets. And I thought it all came together. I think I was checking in on Joe, and we got to talking and stuff like that. Yep. And we were like reflecting on like what blurred media should be doing right now, and that maybe they don't have the space, because I don't want to throw shade at anyone. Like, I know this is a hard time for people, and we're all doing what we can. And I just saw a need. So that's where I was coming from. Like, you need where you can speak about these things, because we're all freelancers. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we felt the need, like, okay, I gotta leave this part out here. Or we've spoken to people who literally can't get their articles, their hosting gigs, their podcasts to be picked up by, you know, circulated to a larger audience, because they want to insert that important part of like, this is how me being Black is shaping my nerd experience, and that's being pushed back and rejected. And so I was like, nah, it needs to happen. Plus, you know, it, like I said, it can't be entertainment all the time. So I thought that just needed to happen. I didn't have to meet them. I already knew, I've known many of the crew for quite a few years now. And we all just got to, we're all on the same page on that. Like, this is what we need to be doing, and not ain't rainbows and sunshine all the time. I mean,
right.
I go by like unicorn is like usually my avatar. So I'm like, I understand, but it can't, we got to talk about these things. We got to work these things out, because I think we're all been tired. Mm-hmm. We've been done having to shrink ourselves, having to like, okay, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to bring up your what's problematic about your fave right now, because I don't want to be the party pooper. I think that's all done. I think we all can agree. And it just felt like it was the right time. That, you know, sometimes people just aren't ready. Mm-hmm. I've been voicing this for a long time. I feel like, I know I've been voicing. I felt like I've been talking about this for a very long time, ever since I think I entered the nerd space publicly. That I'm like, this got to change, because this whole like use us and throw us away, are shrinking ourselves, are only showing one side of ourselves, are being reduced to being two dimensional or something like that. It just ain't cutting it anymore. And we need greater access, greater opportunities, we need more opportunities. So not every time you come out, not every time a Black creative does something, it has to be everything to every Black person, because exactly. we are not a monolith. We need more opportunities to put on, to display our complexity, right? It can't all be one. We got to be able to focus. So out of all that, that's why we needed something pretty big, because it is big and we are going big. We are shooting high. So that's why we were like dealing with the, we were really focused on this like cosmic theme, because, you know, we're making this like nubula soup that we're trying to create and give birth to a whole new reality. Like, what if? You know? So yeah, that's pretty much the idea behind Blur Galaxy.
I love it.
Sure. That's like pretty, yeah. That's like whatever. It's like just a little walk in the park.
Like, well, that's Black people for you. That's Black women for you.
Yeah.
Right. That is us, you know, we make it look easy, but that's right. What it is.
Like, all right, you know what? What sphere can hold me? Cosmic sphere. Okay, galaxy it is. Here we go.
Exactly. Word. We're all made of stars. I love right? saying that. Yes. We're all made of stars. So there it is. Yes. We got a sign.
Viable formation. Okay. please do continue.
I want to hand it to someone else.
Well, when Marquita is right, that's why I called her the doula, because she kind of got everybody together. I mean, I know I was kind of sitting when she came to me and approached me about it. Like she said, I'd been thinking about for a long time that we need something. We need something for us. We need an access point. And I'm an educator, as Vinay is, and we both have been thinking about that we need something to train up the next, you know, level of journalists, because once you get out of school, there's a lot of stuff that they don't teach you about this business, especially as, you know, a Black person, you know, wanting to get into, you know, reporting on entertainment, or even in, you know, any type of reporting. There's like some key things that you need to kind of, you know, do. And a lot of, you know, our counterparts get this from internships, you know, those unpaid things that they do that, while we working to pay off, mm-hmm. you know, pay to live, you know, yeah. So they
when you say counterparts, you're talking about white counterparts?
Yeah, white counterparts, yeah. Okay. Because when they do these internships, that's when they get these hands-on, you know, opportunities to learn the business and learn what it is, the new style of writing that you're doing, because it is different writing than they teach you in school. And then they teach you the different ins and outs, so they don't teach you, you know, when you're getting your degree. And so, and then you get the opportunity to get your first little publishing credits, get your feet wet. And by the time you're done with this internship, you're ready to go for a job. If you're Black, first of all, you can't afford no free internship. Most of us cannot. Ain't got no time for that. And you know, so there's no really time to really get your feet wet. There's no time to learn all these things. And so Blur Galaxy, we hope to have that educational component to where we can help, you know, with that. We can have a space for you to not only do some learning, but to also, you know, get your feet wet, you know, while you've got us, you know, some aunties over your shoulder, you know, just
you know, I love that.
They want you to do this, and you know, and telling them the things that Black, especially Black women, need to know about this industry. You know, when I talked to Regine the first time, we talked about, you know, traveling and safety and, you know, on these press trips yeah. and things like that. Things that they, you know, they won't tell you things that other people don't have to worry about. You know, the white girls, they don't have to worry about this stuff. You don't, you do. And so, you know, those are the things that we'll be able to help out with. I mean, and through our, you know, publication. So it's much more than just a magazine, an online zine, you know, which the zine is going to have a lot to do with it, but we plan to be much more than that.
If I were to say anything, I would have to say, you know, when Marquita first came and put this in my ear, you know, I'm a workhorse. I'm a middle school teacher, so I work secondary. You know, I'm not all I'm not on the level. I did the college thing for a little while, but I like the kids. Basically, because they all act the same, but
I prefer they're more consistent.
Real talk, though.
Like, yeah, I prefer having that kind of entitled attitude come out of 13-year-old. At least when you're 13, I can be like, okay, you're 13. Not when you're 24, looking at me talking about. But I did. I had something to do. I couldn't turn it in. Get out my class. But anyhow.
That's what we do at the college level. I don't put up with that. I mean, you're an adult. I'm an adult. I don't need to hear this. Yeah.
Oh, I worked at a private college. So if you worked, I don't know where you, which university you worked for, but I worked for a PWI, a private Christian way institution. So there weren't very many people of color there at all, let alone professors. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there was a whole bunch of entitlement, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another podcast. We don't have to talk about that one.
Definitely.
That's a whole nother one, but we'd be
in PWIs, yeah.
But anyhow, when Marketo first came to me, you know, I'm like I said, I'm a workhorse. I'm the get it done type. So I was like, all right, here's what we can do. Because I was really excited because I kept feeling like there was this space. And Regina, I had talked about it multiple times where I felt like, you know, more needed to be said and more needed to be done. And I kept trying to put, I know Regina and I talked about it. And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, maybe we should put articles up on Women in Comics. But she didn't really want to come away from her vision. And I respect her vision and Women in Comics, everything in the indie comics world. And so This particular opportunity coming about, I thought, well, this is perfect and this is well timed. Because there are so many intersections with being a blurred that just, you know, it's not well covered. I mean, yeah, we talk about, you know, what movies are coming up and things like that. But my personal perspective is a lot of times people start off being for the blur, but then we get caught up with all the fanfare and all the other outside stuff, and it's really easy to get distracted. And I don't blame anyone for getting distracted because shiny things are distracting. That's why they exist. But it needs to be a platform where, you know, we're not getting distracted by, you know, oh, this particular organization is going to let us report for them, so let's completely forget about the indie artists who supported us and got us started. Oh, I can interview this high class celebrity, so I'm gonna start now no longer catering to the black fan base that got me started. And I think that happens a lot, and it's unfortunate. I don't think it's intentional, and I don't think everyone does it. And everyone who starts off, you know, they don't intend to, you know, say, you know, they're saying I'm a blurred, and the things I care about are all of these things. And yes, of course, I love Marvel as much as the next guy. But my thing is I feel like this space for me was a place where we could still, even though we care about and we celebrate those other things, that we could still center the blurred in our intersections. When one of the other ladies was talking a few minutes ago was reminding me of, you know, being a blurred, being a black nerd, we don't all have the same concerns, you know, like you could be worried about cosplay, but just reminded me when I did SDCC one year, Regina, you probably remember that year. I came back to do this cosplay with those big giant wings. I was cosplaying a character from a comic Birthright that I love. It's an Image comic. And I really love the character Raya. She's this angel and she's black and she's got locks. She's got these big, beautiful metallic wings and she's super dope.
Yeah.
So I went to go get this spray paint when I was in San Diego. I couldn't get spray paint back at home. So when I got there, it's like, cool, we'll just swing by the Home Depot and I'll spray paint my wings there, you know. And there's all these things going on. This is San Diego during Comic-Con. Do you know how many nerds are walking around in costumes, y'all?
Right.
But me and my husband is back there. And of course, security comes up to us while, you know, I'm spray painting my wings in the back and, you know, we the ones who get questions and stuff like that. So, you know, there are things that, you know, as a black nerd that I got to worry about that my fellow nerds don't have to worry about. Mm-hmm. And that's just the reality. And I think these are things that we should be talking about. These things that we should be addressing. Sitting around and, oh, we're using this time during the pandemic to just catch up on TV shows and chill and you know, you can do that because the world is not marching and deciding whether or not you matter. So you can chill and eat popcorn and relax. I don't have that privilege. Why am I not in the forums and stuff like I normally am? Oh, because my people are being hanged in the streets and people are ruining them all suicide. That's yeah. why. Mm-hmm. So we have this interesting intersection that's so critical. And it's just, I feel like we're missing it. Not intentionally, because like one of the other ladies said, I mean, this is a lot to juggle and I can't blame nobody for not touching it. Cause it's a lot. But I mean, I feel like there should, like those of us who can should probably address it and probably touch it. Cause this is a moment of history. Mm-hmm. This is a moment of history that if we don't make our mark here, this is going to be a whole intersection of history that is ignored. Because we didn't speak up and use our voices. And yes, it hurts and it's painful and it's heavy lifting. And no, nobody should be requiring anyone to do that kind of heavy lifting. But those of us who can, I say, why not?
Right.
Word.
Right.
Absolutely. I couldn't even said it better. I can't even said it better myself.
I mean, I really appreciate Vinay on that one. Because I think that's a very important conversation to have. Because I think that's sometimes the problem, right, with, you know, people who are being asked to speak for a community who really don't have it in them. They don't have the interest. They don't have the passion. They don't have the understanding. When you go to protest, when you go to stand up for something, you have to have your conviction and you have to have your knowledge with you. Mm-hmm. You got to be prepared for pushback. And if it ain't in you, when you get pushed back, you get pushed down. Mm-hmm. And you may not get up because it wasn't in you to do in the first place. So I'd much rather have people who feel that they are called to this. They're going to rise to the challenge, emphasis on challenge. This is not an easy thing to do. We need to acknowledge that, you know, and you know, they're going to be slip ups. And I'm not trying to dissolve people of any kind of responsibility. You know, do your homework. You'll come with it if you're going to do it. And we are all pushing ourselves to do that. But at the same time, like, we definitely need support, not just criticism. And if we do get criticism, it needs to be constructive, you know? So I definitely feel that.
Well, I can say, and I just wanted to jump in real quick, like just in regards to the reason why I wanted to be a part of Word Galaxy. And Marquita and I had started talking about this last year after San Diego Comic-Con. Because it's been very interesting navigating journalists and journalism and various media outlets since coming into the comic book industry sphere. And, you know, finding that, like, white journalists sort of want to, like, glom onto your marginalization in order to push, you know, their careers forward. And that's not always the case, but the case is still there nonetheless way too much. And so we kind of had that experience last year where we basically crafted a journalist's article for her so she can put it out on us.
Wow.
And I was fit to be tied. Marquita was fit to be tied. And then we found out we were fit to be tied together. Because you know, you have these separate thoughts.
Goodness. And the questions, Regine. I was like, are you serious? Are you going to write this article? Or are you just asking us to write it so you can put your name on the end of it?
And that's what happened.
it was crazy.
Yeah. And we talked about that. Like, look, you know, like there needs to be some type of outlet, whether it came from Women in Comics or a separate outlet, there needs to be some type of outlet that really was for the community and was open to covering independent organizations, independent artists, as well as the mainstream. But the mainstream gets a bunch of attention, and that attention is warranted, but so are the little people, you know, so are the people of smaller businesses and so forth. And that I was really passionate about that. I've always been passionate about it, but my feeling has always been, I've always been very mistrustful of journalism within multimedia because of how I was treated and my colleagues have been treated as Black folks working in the industry. And, you know, and certain things would happen where it would just be like, yeah, we expected that. Right. Yeah, we're not surprised that we were betrayed. Yeah, we're not surprised, you know, that we didn't get this type of coverage. Yeah, we're surprised that our words were twisted up, down, and around, or didn't exist at all in the article. You know, it wasn't surprising to us. So to be a part of something that's what I would consider a new interpretation of a movement, I'm very proud of that. You know, I'm very proud to that you guys let me hang around a little bit, you know, and see the inner working of what I feel is going to be true journalism, at least in my spirit, in my core. So thank you for that. Thank you for that very much. So
I feel compelled.
Hi.
Sorry, just listen. I feel compelled, and I want to super get back into this, like into the sort of granularity of what we're talking about, and just listening to you all share this experience. And like, I was hearing you say the word journalism, and I was just like, yeah, wow, like anti-blackness is just, I mean, it's no surprise how pervasive it is, but it's still almost surprising how pervasive it is, like where you look, where it just like shows up in everything. Because like journalists could have been any profession, you know, and like us having to create spaces, you know, could have been applied to like any sector, you know, like any professional sector. It's really, I just like the universality of that sentiment. I don't know, it just blows me back a little bit. Every time I see like a new way that it is sort of like pervaded culture, all of culture.
Well, for me, the biggest thing that would impact in me, I mean, I expected certain things from white journalists. I didn't expect it from like my own, but it is a part of colonization and anti-blackness in terms of, you know, you want to assimilate, you know, you want to assimilate, but it's also the thing that you like, this is what I enjoy. Like, I love the mainstream this, I love the mainstream that. And that's great. And that you should cover that, you should take care of it. But then when you look over to somebody that doesn't have, you know, as much clout per se, but has beautiful work, and you stick your nose up at it, and when that person can be the next big thing tomorrow, but even if that's not the case, that doesn't mean you shouldn't cover it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like, oh, there's another cute little black creator. That's so cute. Like, that's so cute. But I'm going to go cover this other thing. And I'm going to go to the great parties that you won't be able to go to because you are a smaller creator. Like, experiencing that has been fascinating.
And can I add that, you know, being...
Yes, please.
So I've been writing for... This is going on, I think, year 14, going into 15 years as a freelance writer, a journalist for the last 5-6 years. And so I've just been kind of, you know, looking at the way that, you know, from the inside, how, you know, black journalists kind of react to even one another. And so you even have, there is this like huge pressure to assimilate, because If your articles are too much, if it's too black, if it's something that I've been asked to explain simple things about blackness in my article, I've been asked to take things out that are too loud, too raw, too whatever. Just put a, you know, add your adjective for, you know, aggressive black woman after that, and that's what I get sometimes in my writing. And so, you know, but to be able to rise in the ranks and to show people what I can do, you've got to do what that editor says. Now, that I'm not excusing anybody that Regine is talking about, any of those, because I certainly have come across the black journalists who have the platforms and who will look at an independent creator and, you know, just kind of pass them by, and, you know, it made me kind of feel some kind of way, you know. I'm like, you in your staff position, you should be kind of trying to be a champion for those people, but I know they also have their challenges in their position as well, so there's other complications. But I mean, I thought there's got to be something more. There's got to be a space where I can report this what's going on, how it affects me and people like me, and do it in a way where I don't have to tone it down, to explain, to undress it, to, you know, basically just take all the power out of the words because my audience isn't familiar. And that takes a toll. I mean, and that's one of the things that kind of takes a toll on writers. And that's another reason why I've been really, you know, when Marquita said, you know, hey, I got some people who might want to do something like this. I'm like, hey, let me, I want to be a part of this, you know? Also, I tried to strike out on my own to do it with the Black Cape, my website, where I do film reviews and critiques. But one person with one site, there's only so far you can get. They pretty much look at me like, okay, but how many followers do you have? And yeah, how many people can you bring us? And, you know, if you can't turn around so many this review in so many days, we can't work with you, you know, so and stuff like that. And I'm like, it's me, I'm one person, I have a day job, you know, I can only do so much. Those are like some of the hangups that we kind of go through, that, and it's not fair. And I talked to even just some white critics. They do have a struggle, but it's not the same. It's not the same at all, and it's not the same frustration. And to me, I think being a part of this team of women, first of all, being a part of you guys, this team, I'm able to come in, and I can like, you know, I know that I can give you this idea, tell you what I'm thinking, and I don't have to, you know, kind of color it or shade it or present it in any certain way. It can just come out my mouth, you know, and you understand what I'm talking about. First of all, second of all, you know, there's this component. If I can kind of give away a little bit about our meetings,
yes,
when we first kind of get together, there's this kind of check in, how you doing, you know, how's it going, what's going on with you, type of thing that I've been missing as a freelancer out on our own in journalism. Mm. There's a lot. I mean, I can't count how many times I'm the blackest thing in the crowd. You know, yeah. I'm not that dark. I'm the blackest thing in the crowd, and you know, there's no one I can talk to. There's no one I can like go to if I'm feeling something, and you know, until I get home, you know, or you know, maybe contact some of my friends or something online or something. But there's no one else in the colleagues that I can really go to sometimes. And so having this team, you know, where, you know, I can kind of come and say, this is what's frustrating me, or, you know, this is what's going on with me. That's powerful for me, because when you're dealing with this anti-blackness in journalism, it's hard, and it's hard. And dealing with it outside, like everybody was talking about, you know, what's going on in this moment. I mean, it's hard to deal with that, and to be by yourself and not to have anybody who's in the same field to talk to and discuss it with. So, yeah, those are a few things that I wanted to add about, you know, us and the, you know, I think the uniqueness of us and what we're going to bring to this.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think the audience is going to appreciate that too. Because I mean, I've spoken about this on the podcast, and I may have said this to y'all like individually, just that is sort of the spirit of what Women in Comics is. And the reason why I always talk about Women in Comics so much is because I'm so passionate about our mission and our membership. And it's always about making sure that people feel safe and there's a safe space to go to and to be a part of, because there's so many places that we go in general as Black folks, mm-hmm. and for non-Black folks of color, you know, in the LGBTQ plus community and anybody who has been marginalized, like it's so important to feel safe. And sometimes you have to bring your safety with you. Yeah, that's just a long-winded cosign. Go ahead, Benet.
No, and I'm cosigning more on what both of you guys are saying. I think what's important about this particular venture is it's not one person. We're a team of Black women, and we all come from our different intersections. Yeah. And I think that's important because Black women, we have a tendency of knowing how to call each other in, because it's not a one person, and there's not like a boss and we are a team. I can't get out of pocket. I can't get too far out of line. Okay. My ego can only go so far before one of these girls be like, sis, let me
let me pop your balloon.
Yes.
Yes. We need to moisturize your whole spirit right now.
Not moisturize.
And that's the beauty of it. Like because we're a coalition of Black women, we know how to call each other in without hurting one another. Mm-hmm. We know how to go to, you know, if I'm having an issue where I could pull one of my sisters aside and be like, hey, am I tripping? And this is how you need to come at that. Don't come at that way. Because we are a sisterhood. We are a team. And there's something so beautiful about that, because that's something that is very, very rooted. Most of us don't understand. I do a lot of research in African ancestry. That is a very West African cultural thing, is community. It's actually not just West African, it's most non-white, non-Eurocentric cultures, where it's more community than individualism. And having community and using that community to build and create and to create its own justice within itself, but justice, like true justice, where it's about improving you, not punishing you, not ostracizing you, but growing you and saying you're wrong, you're hurting the community, you might be doing this and that for you, but that's hurting the community, and this how we gonna fix it. And yes, he gonna fix it, and it's gonna be fixed. And that's what we do for each other. And I think that's really important. I think sometimes we get really caught up in these very Eurocentric ways of doing business, because that's what we were taught to do. That's how we were taught. Yeah. So everything is about individual determination instead of about community and what's best for the community. We do what's best for me. And I think that happens in a lot of blurred media too. We get real, we want to be a part so bad that we start going real Eurocentric ways. And it's about, well, you know, I can't do this for that without looking out, you know, and still look out for me. But that's what I think, that's why, you know, when I said, when we came together and I was like, look, if we're going to do this, all decisions are made as a team. Everything is a team, as a vote, because it's important that we hold that spirit and we hold on to that bit of our ancestry and we take it with us. Because that's who we are. And Black women, we're so good about that. Not that there are not people who aren't, because all of us at one point or another fall into the trap of anti-Blackness while being Black. All of us at some point or another have fallen victim to supporting white supremacist thought without realizing it. But when you get this powerful group and you know, this four women, these four corners, this northeast, southwest, earth, wind, fire, you know, it's just, there's something beautiful about it. Something very beautiful and very spiritual about it. And, you know, when we come together and, you know, if somebody, when you got the four, if somebody is not right, that's enough to pull somebody up. That we have enough to pull each other up. We have enough to keep each other. And we all, and because we come from such different aspects, you know, except for poor Black women, you would think, oh, there's no diversity on that team. We are so different because Black women are not a monolith. We are so different. And it's beauty in that. And we are able to be this thing and this support system for each other and to build each other up and to call each other out and to give different ideas. I can't be who Regina is. I can't. I can't. I don't want to be.
That's
her. I feel that. That's her. That's her corner. I don't want her corner. I don't want Janita's corner either. That's hers. I'm with it. I love it. Except that she'd be. I'm the first one who'd be like, go ahead and stay in my lane, because y'all lane is not for me. I'm not Marquita. I'm not that happy. I'm not. I just.
Yet you are a joy to be around and to be in a friendship in. I appreciate you, sister, for all your lights and talents.
But that's the thing. I'm not saying that I don't like or disrespect anything about these women. I'm saying that I am not them. And I don't try to occupy the space, because it's theirs. It is whole and it's beautiful all by itself. And I think having these four whole beautiful spaces come together and create one community that we really want to use to foster up more people of color, particularly women and Black women, I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it matters, and I think it's important, and I'm really excited to see what we produce and what we birth into this space. Yes.
I love it. What, Elka?
I'm just over here being very affirmative.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So let's get into just some of the things that are going on out here. Not so much in the world, but within our Blurdy Nerdy Spaces. In a couple of weeks, not only is there going to be a full launch of the website, but there are some events coming up, like San Diego Comic-Con at Home, mm-hmm. and I think there's a Justice Con, and the DC Fandom Experience, and we're on a panel this weekend. I mean, what are y'all looking forward to covering, learning more about? What's going on?
This is my first time like doing the whole panel thing on such a huge level, you know. Usually I'm reporting on the panels. I'm not on them, you know. So this will be my first time being on a panel for the one this weekend, the SDCC at Home, I'm on a panel at Justice Con as well, and it's just really exciting for me, just the experience. I'm just looking forward to the experience for now, being on the other side.
Awesome. Benet?
I'm excited. Okay. I don't want to say it's not the right word. Sandy, okay. I'm a little heartbroken.
Sandy, me too.
Our thing. Me and Regine, we've been doing San Diego together for a long time. She's been doing San Diego much longer than I have, but she invited me. She got me into SDCC for the first time, I want to say like 8 years ago or 9 years ago. I don't know, some number. Math ain't my thing. But she got me in it. It became kind of like our bonding time. In July, that's our time. And, you know, we brought it, created like the community. And because of affiliations with other group, I invited Marquita in. And then it just became like this thing. And it's been building ever since. We created this like sisterhood. And I've got to, you know, share space. And we do a house where we get a house together. We used to do hotels, but then we started doing a house together on Airbnb. We call it a Woop House, Women's Comics House. and it just became this amazing experience. And so I'm slightly mourning.
No.
Because that was like our sisterhood week, you know, where we got together and we, you know, we're doing a new Comic-Con thing, but you know, we come back to the house, we have a couple of drinks, we laugh, we talk, we do hair. I mean, I'm gonna miss it. I haven't been able to be like as active because I had a baby. the picture actually on the screen for my avatar right now. I was pregnant, and that was like right before I left for the hospital because I started bleeding.
Well, our Women in Comics avatar on Twitter has you in it in a group, and it's when you were pregnant at San Diego Comic Con.
I was showing up this pregnant, y'all. Do you know how sick I was? I was like, I spent most of my pregnancy in the hospital sick. I was still at San Diego Comic Con, dog. Like, are you sure? And I was like, if you don't get out my face, I don't miss San Diego. I'm missing that. So I'm looking forward to see what they come up with for digital. And I'm hoping we can find a way to recreate that experience. I know we have our little Women in Comics cocktail night, and I'm hoping we have a Wink version or a San Diego Comic Con version.
We should. That's a great idea. We should do that.
You know, come together and get on camera and just kind of get as close to that experience as we can, because that's like my favorite time. I love it and I look forward to it. I am looking forward to the DC Fandom though. That one looks interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's next month. So it's an extension. It's sort of an extension of San Diego Comic Con. So that's August 22nd. It's a 24-hour experience. I'm calling it a 24-hour activation. That's really kind of what it is. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
online SDCC after party.
Oh, what the? What are you talking? What are you talking about? The Blurred and Bougie?
No, the fandom. But I guess that's part of it. So.
Well, the Blurred and the WB Blurred and Bougie party. I guess that's happening that day too. Ilka's laughing because we just discovered that this event happened. It was supposed to, I guess, supposed to be for like blurred journalists, and it took place last year. I think I heard about it after it happened. And then this year they're having a virtual one. Last year it was on a boat. DJ D Nice, he was the DJ. I can't believe I didn't know about it, y'all.
we all feel the same. We're like, wait. I know we popping in the nerd space, and I know we be running it at, you know, San Diego Comic Con.
Especially
I don't know.
You find all the parties. You find like, all the wait. Parties, Marquita.
I was offended. I mean, I love the idea of a black space at San Diego Comic Con, because again, it's still, you know, the ratio when it comes to like black with everybody else, it's a sea of people, and you really excited when you see each other, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I definitely introduce, embrace, fellowship with people just on that alone, because it's like, hey, how you doing? Either I'm going to find out where to go, or I'm going to tell somebody where to go, because we like seeing each other. We want that community. There's just, again, as I believe Vinay and Jonita has brought up, there's things that don't have to be explained. They don't have to be said. And as like black for us is the baseline. You know, it's something we are, I think all of us at this point are kind of exhausted in explaining, yes. And having think pieces on, it's like literally your existence. So I like us getting into the other parts, the other aspects of us, because we're all very multifaceted. So I want to get into the other parts of us, and I don't want to have awkward conversations about like my skin, my hair, and oh, that's interesting that you're into that, because you know. Asking questions. I mean, it's like, that's what other people outside don't seem to understand. Like, they think, you know, if you're tired of hearing about race, we're surely exhausted talking about it ourselves. Woo! That's a regular, like, I am so tired of people talking about, why does it always have to be because y'all bring it up? Trust me, it is not us bringing it up. It's like, y'all gonna do something out of pocket. Yep. Now I'm talking about non-black people gonna do something out of pocket. You're gonna ask me some out of pocket question you could have Googled just to save us both energy and time. And then look at me when I'm like, now do I feel like having another, you know, teaching moment, 300 million, 5,000, you know, and one, like, and then the questions are so the same. That's what me. Y'all are reading off the same script. Y'all got the same curiosities. Y'all brains are wired that hard. Where y'all gonna ask all the same questions and then wonder why I'm a little bit out of shape about it? Like, nah, Google. Yeah. And then reach out and get some clarification, or come and befriend me on our fandom. But that's the thing, when you don't think about race, you don't think about somebody's identity, you tend to step in poo, because it's not enough to be like, I don't see color. I don't see color, or I don't see somebody, what makes them different. That's why I'm such a champion of embracing difference. If you do not see people's differences, you don't understand who they are. You don't understand all they contribute. You don't see the positive things about their differences. There's many positives with difference and variety. It's the spice of life, diversity. You would not want to be in a world where everybody looked alike, thought alike. We make dystopian movies about that. Clearly, that's not true. Into, you know?
That is true.
You know, you're running away from that small town, or that town back east, or that town from another country. Why? Because everybody's the same. Then you move your gentrifying butt to a big city where it's got all this diversity, and then decide you want to make a little slice of home in this big city by bulldozing over the culture that you moved there for. So we need to get together, and that happens even in nerd spaces where they might invite you in, but only if you're tame about it. Only if you, okay, this is what space we're going to get you. I need you to fit into that space and don't get any bigger. But you know me, I was like, I barrel through it. Like, I take up a lot of space from my look to my voice. I'm always afraid I'm yelling. So just let me know if I'm yelling. I'm loud. And I'm proud to be so. I just don't want to bust anybody's eardrums if they're listening.
My thing here is, you know, I heard about Blurred and Bougie, and I actually assumed, Regine, when you told me about that one party you was at where some stuff popped off. I'm not gonna get into that stuff, but some stuff popped off.
No, that was our party. That was our party.
We're talking about
you was at that party. I assumed you were there because how could they possibly have a Blurred and Bougie party and women in comics not be there?
Right.
And the reason I see that is because there have been organizations putting on blur parties, these little, because, you know, the hotels won't really give you a whole bunch, but the hotels and restaurants where people can host something for years, because we've gone to them.
Yeah, we did.
But when I look at the pictures, I don't see none of those folks there. So what blurs were y'all catering to? I'm curious. Not that I'm opposed to the Blurred and Bougie. I'm like, hey, it looks like fun, but I don't see none of the folks that I'm used to seeing at these blur gatherings in San Diego. Like, where is they at?
I don't know. I just know that I saw a couple of people I know in the journalism circles. So I'm wondering if this is just something just for hype. Sorry to say, just to get some press, you know, and that's it.
I see a lot of non-Black people.
Just to get some press, and that's it. I mean, just...
Well, I just came across some pictures. I see a few faces that I now recognize.
Okay, you seen a couple?
Yes, I've seen a few, at least three.
Okay, well, that's good.
I just wish that invite was a little larger. That's all. I was like,
this is a celebrity thing. That's what this is.
Maybe that's what it was. It was for celebrity.
This is for this looks like it was not for actual the blur community. This it was for journalists and celebrities. That's mostly it.
This hits on something too that's a little bit larger that's going on in Hollywood, is about, you know, when they try for diversity, how it's, you know, the bare minimum, or just for clicks, just for photos, just for you know, press, and it's not really for the community. And, you know, when I found out, first of all, I didn't know that this happened last year, and then when I found out that y'all weren't there, you know, y'all been to Comic-Con, I mean, like, every year, and if y'all weren't there, then it must not have been a blur party.
Panels at Comic-Con, we
right. It was, so if y'all weren't there, it was a blur party.
So
and so I'm just like, and others.
Karama got in, and you know she's all about that blur life,
right?
Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I mean, this is just another one of those things we complain and we talk about and complain. We tell them, you're talking about diversity, but you're doing just the bare minimum. You're not doing the actual work of going to find blurs who are not hard to find. I mean, it's not too difficult to find true blurs at a Comic-Con, seriously, and invite them to the party. So, you know, it's like, I don't think they were really trying to do anything, but just for show, or you know, just to say we did this diversity thing, which is, it goes back to the intersection that you talked about earlier.
Did anyone know, did Nerds of Color at least get in? Because I know they
thought, yeah, I just saw Keith. I just saw pictures. I saw Keith. So shout out to Keith from Nerds of Color. Shout out to Karama, the blurred girl. And she's the reason I found out that the virtual party is happening. So thank you so much for letting me know.
Yeah, her coverage was helpful. That's how I found out about it.
Always is in the know for everything. I follow her all knowledge.
Geeks of Color was there.
Yeah, Geeks of Color was there, yeah.
Okay, so they let in a couple folks.
Yeah, so they let a couple folks.
I mean, I think the biggest thing is that, I mean, generally going to San Diego Comic-Con, there is a little bit of like after party, like content activations for blurs and non-Black people of color. And some of those events I put on along with Nerds of Color, my wink Nerd of Color partnership with the Comics and Cocktails Party that we do. And then Women in Comics, we have our own like separate little event. So, you know, we've been like sort of the folks that have been spearheading having event for us. So, I mean, of course, at some point the mainstream would glom on and create something so that they can, you know, make money off of. I'm just putting it out there. I'm just putting it out there, you know, not to say like, no, don't invite me, but I'm not going to lie to you either. I'm not going to lie to you either. It's fascinating. I feel like that's my word of the year. What am I working on here?
Fascinating. Yeah.
And conducive, it is.
Had to pop in with that one. You got me.
You know, I mean, have events that help support the Black and Brown community that's mainstream, have them independently as well. But we do want to sort of get rid of this exclusivity type of thing. It's like, if you're going to invite folks, like, invite folks. If it's an event for everyone, because a lot of companies do that. Vinay and I used to go to those, the ones that were just for everybody. You get on the line, or maybe you RSVP and you just go right into the Hard Rock and have fun, or what have you. Or you have invite only, which is cool. You know, I guess with that. But just have some the real community in there. That's my biggest thing. That's my thing. So I guess we're going to be seeing that next year. I put that out to the universe, but
this has been so edifying. It really has. No, I mean, it just, you know, it just, yeah, it's just more just the ways in which it's all being reflected in, again, different, you know, professions. And just how it offers up that invitation again, always and forever, to do like what we've all been saying, which is, you know, create spaces for us. How do we create those spaces? How do we maintain those spaces? It just makes me think of like sanctuary, you know, like that, the thing that was being discussed before, where you just walk into a space and it's just like the, like Blackness is the baseline. You know, like I always tell that story about going and being dragged to a honky tonk in Nashville and finding the only other Black person in there. And just being like, a word, yelp, okay. And the power in that, right? The power in just like that safety. And it makes me wonder if, I don't know, it just makes me wonder if that isn't part of the reason why like people who are not us are so keen to keep that at bay.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, look, Vinay had said earlier about non Eurocentric cultures or Eurocentric cultures that are not community oriented, and this is right. this is a conversation that I think we've been having over the past few weeks about how we as people of color, especially Black people, being very community oriented, and that being basically in our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And you know white folks may not realize it, but sort of just like shuffling away from that, or trying to shuffle us away from that. It's a thing. I mean, I'm trying to gather my words because I feel like I'm getting a big old download in regards to that. But it's definitely in line with trying to keep us away from our roots. Because if once you galvanize and come together and be this amazing thing, like no one can hurt you.
Right.
No one can do anything to you. So if you can separate us, like, okay, we're going to have our own event and, you know, we're going to pick the elite Black folks. The elite non-Black people of color. You know, the elite brown folks. Like, that's what we're going to do. And that sort of, like, separates us. We have the have and have nots. I don't have an invitation. They do. and separates us.
Is I don't want this to be taken as people being bitter because they didn't get in. First of all, I wasn't even there. I'm not bitter.
I don't think we're bitter. I think we're just having a conversation about being thoughtful.
I'm just clarifying for anybody who's out there listening. They just mad because they didn't get in. No.
I mean, I'll take this one. Like, I wasn't interested in the party at all. I didn't know it existed ever. And I'm over here like, yeah, I hear your point. So to all you Bettys that are like, they're bitter, nah, you're projecting.
That's right. The projection. Because it didn't even pass my thoughts on like, oh, well, it's bitter. I'm glad you addressed it because, you know, I speak for my heart and I speak for like wanting, like, I'm always talking about greater access. That's something I'm constantly talking about because I feel like that's going to help improve representation and opportunities for people is greater access in all things to training, education, networking, all that. Greater access is needed. And so that's where I was coming from about it. Like, how you gonna have like a culture party? It's like literally called Blurred and Bougie. Yeah. And your grandma, who black should have been invited? You know, ain't those many people at con that fit that description. I'm just saying, I'm putting it out. So it's easy. It's actually more realistic to include more people because the demographic you were targeting with that party is actually quite small. Unfortunately. So that's where I was coming from.
And I want to speak on the division part, coming from, you know, I any of the press trips I've been on, there's been this, when there's another black person there, there's this idea of, you know, you don't want to be all the black people are gathered over here and not mingling. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, this idea of, you know, go mingle, go meet people, go do this, go that. And it's like, no, I found my people. I'm comfortable over here. That's kind of frowned upon, you know, on some of these circles. And so I just, that whole idea of it, attacking it, changing it, I think it needs to be done. And, you know, even not even just with, you know, the elite ones or not the haves and have nots. I just think that, you know, inclusion means all of us being able to do as we need to and kind of be in our own little circle, and being able to go off and find our community as we need to. Because as you talked about the being at a honky tonk and seeing another black person, I remember being in a junket in Hawaii and never being there before. And, you know, I knew all the journalists that were there, but they were mostly white. And I found we were at a luau. It was at night. And I just kind of found, you know, black people. And I'm like, okay, y'all are people. We're going to sit together. And so it happened to be Jerry, who was the editor at BET, and his wife. And we ended up just, you know, drinking cocktails and sitting out on the beach. And there were any number of people that were like, go on party. You know, you ought to go out and party with everybody else. I'm like, those are a bunch of young white kids that are like, first of all, younger than me, more stamina. It does not mean I'm here, you know, we all right, we fine, we found our s'mores and our that go with the drink that y'all made and we good, you know. So but it seems like it's frowned upon, you know, just when we get together and we do our little, I don't know, it's almost like it's a threat.
Mm-hmm. It is, because it is.
And so, you know, I just found that came to me as I was thinking you were talking about division, just that every time that I've gone somewhere and been on a trip and kind of went, we found our community, we found our spot, and we're like, nope, we ain't moving. Right. There's this idea of, you know, you need to go mingle. And it's like, I am not moving from this chair. I'm not.
It's more than that, though. It's more than that. It's not just the I'm not moving, you need to go mingle. It's that there is something about us having our own spaces that bothers everybody else. Mm-hmm. They just get penetrated with, like, without fail. And I know people want to go and say, oh, that's reverse racism. Oh, that's reverse, what do they call it, segregation? No, it's not. It's just having a space and occupying it. And that's okay to do. Like, that's okay to do. And like, even I'm in a gardening group on Facebook, y'all, a black girl gardener group. There's like 1,000 of them, but I'm in one. And somebody pointed out the other day, like, Do you guys realize that there's men and non-Black women infiltrating this group? Like, you click on people's profiles and it's just, and then they get mad, why can't we be here? Why is space specific? But I will never understand why people have an issue with us having spaces that are us. Like, I will never understand that. Like, why can't I just be comfortable sitting in this corner minding my business with my homegirls? Like, why does the white gaze have to penetrate our space?
Mm-hmm. Also, it's something I think they take for granted. I think, especially white people, and maybe other groups might be able to experience that as well. But you do have to find places where it is just you. And that's something we're always talking about. Now, the problem is that especially with white people, it exists everywhere. Like, so many spaces that are almost exclusively white without trying. Why I often have to explain why you have to have Black somewhere in there as a qualifier, why you have to have queer or any other identifier in there, is to let those other groups know that, yes, we want you to attend this. Yes, we want you to show up. If you leave it out and you just say, like, as a journalist, like, both me and Jonita are part of National Association of Black Journalists. And like, they would have events at other journalist associations. So there's multiple journalist associations that have different focuses. And I remember having a conversation at ONA, which is an online news association, at one of their conferences, with someone who's like, well, why gotta be Black? Because if you don't say Black, we're not gonna show up. 9 times out of 10, nobody wants to be the only Black person in the room. Mm-hmm. Or if you don't say person of color, most people of color can identify that they don't want to be the only person in the room. Why? Because then you become a representation, you don't want to be tokenized, mm-hmm. you don't want to get poked and prodded. Baseline questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Were you gonna say something?
I was just going to say it's risky. The risk level is high.
Exactly. Yeah. It's high. Yeah. It's putting you under a lot of pressure. And if you're like, you might, and we do go into those spaces. Don't get it twisted, because we have to. If you're trying to get a job, I mean, as blurs, often our interests are going to lead us into places where we're going to be the only person. That's why I think it is something we feel so strongly about, because it's something we've had to deal with for a long time, even before we actually had words to describe it. I know that was my experience, because I got bused to magnet schools. And so even from that young age, you get put in a situation where people give you this attention, but it's not fun. It's like the questions are icky. It's awkward. I remember some of the earlier questions being like, well, why does one side of your hand be a color not the same color of the other side of the hand? Like, I didn't know. I was 10. Like, what? what are we talking about? And stuff. And so they're making an issue of your race already before you even, you're like, what, huh? I didn't even notice until you pointed it out. And then they'll turn around once a few years later. Now you're like pushing back. And it's like, oh, it's always about race with Marquita. She's so intense. When you were poking and prodding in the beginning. So, yeah, I think that is something that they just don't understand when they're seen as the default. Like, we need to make spaces for ourselves because we're not the default. And for a long time, you know, respectability politics and all that nonsense, you've been pushed and pressed. Be the same, assimilate. We're all the same. Mm-hmm. This is gonna be a recurring thing with me. This whole idea of like sameness, I think it's dangerous. That's not equality. That's not what we're looking for. I want to be who I am as an individual is of equivalent value.
Yes.
That's what equality is about. Not me changing, squishing, and doing all these weird things with myself so I can fit your idea of sameness. Sameness is so dangerous for every group. Yeah, that's what I think they don't understand when we're creating these spaces. Like, we just want to breathe and be ourselves, and not you take that as some kind of political radical statement. Remember, you know, only so many decades ago, it was radical just to say you're Black and you're proud. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people now that are only, you know, 50, 60 years old who lived through the radical statement I'm just saying, you know what? I love who I am. I love the skin I have. I love the color of it. I love who I am as an individual, and going, man, they're getting out of control in a forgotten place. Like, that's the thing. It's like, again, people not knowing their history and not where we're coming from and wanting to live in a vacuum that doesn't exist. So I was like, that's why we need the spaces, because I'm tired of the awkward ass questions.
It's the truth. Yes.
I mean, yes, point blank, yes. Period. I'm tired. Yeah. Yes. Preach. Tired.
Well, and the qualifiers too, you know, I often find going into these spaces, you have to, not only am I coming in with my degrees and my credentials, I have to prove that I actually earned these, I guess. You have to set down like qualifiers. So along with the poking and prodding, there's like a testing that is going on, you know, in academic spaces, especially. Vinay, you probably experienced this, but academic spaces, especially if you go in presenting in comics, you know, presenting papers in comics, I found myself on panels at you know, these academic conventions with, you know, basically white males, and I have to prove that I know what a comic book is first and foremost. I'm not to mention that I have a full ass paper that I'm presenting on. I've been accepted into this panel. I mean, y'all all have read my paper. I know, because of the way you're going to pull me apart later on. But I still have to, you know, kind of go through this little testing ground of knowing what, you know, comics are and what they do. And, you know, it's just exhausting, you know. So yeah, just having a space where you can just walk in and it's understood that you are who you are and who you say you are. You don't have to prove yourself. That's a relief.
Girl, the world of academia is a whole, again, we need to have a whole other conversation. Is a minefield of identity politics that are just gross. But yeah, being a Black woman who knows anything about comics, you are going to be questioned.
My goodness.
I don't even respond. I'm so petty, y'all. Like, I'm not even
to, and we're here for it. You be petty. Mm-hmm. They deserve it.
I'm going to engage you in the conversation. Like, you're going to be like, oh, did you read? Da-da-da-da-da? I'll be like,
and I was like, no.
I'm not about to argue with you. I got nothing to prove to you. Oh, who do you think you are?
Like, not one thing.
Like the comics police.
Like, I said what I said. Nobody asked you. And, you know, I've got resting bitch face. And, nice. You know, you can call it what you want to call it, but I'm going to just look at you until your soul burns.
I love vendors. Make them as ashy as they truly are on the inside and out.
Like, I'm sorry, teacher face is a real thing, and so I need you to know. Don't come. I'm that one. I'm like, don't come for me unless I call for you. Don't do it. And my I'm married to like a comic scholar. There's like nothing in comics my husband doesn't know. It's so irritating because he calls me on everything. But like, it's just funny because like I can say a thing and people were like, oh my gosh, like, how do you know such a thing? I've been reading comics since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell you, like, all comics. And that's the other thing. Yeah. I think the problem, I have this problem with Black men in comics as well as everybody else.
Girl, that is another story.
I was like, do you want to get into it?
That's a whole show.
Of this division between Black women and men. Oh my goodness.
They want you to be their student. They want to act like they're holding your hand and walking you into this like you're some fresh baby. I'm nearly 40. If you don't get out of here.
Right.
It's peak paternal guidance over there in regards to comics. And like, man, listen.
Man.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I've actually had a moment.
I'm grown. I'm looking at my retirement. Like, you need to get out of here.
Right.
Yeah, I had one. Actually, had one of those geeky Game of Thrones moments with a dude who was like trying to talk about the show and knew nothing about what he was talking about. And so I just kind of just dressed down the entire, you know, what was happening. And I'm like, okay. And so when you watch the show like you say, like you thought you were watching. I don't know what you were watching before. This is what you need to look for. And he just kind of was like, with his mouth open, like, oh, you watch Game of Thrones? What were we just talking about? Okay. He was just trying to explain something to me about this show that you knew nothing about, and then got shocked when I'm telling you all about this thing you knew nothing about. Yeah. It was just, it gets frustrating.
The audacity that they nerd tech you on something they don't even know about, but that is so common. And the minute you show, and don't back down either. They don't carry through. They don't carry through. And I'm like, do you know anything about this show? Do you know anything about this show?
Down the whole thing.
I got questions.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Girl, they will mansplain themselves into such a deep hole.
Deep, the deepest hole. And I'm like, trying to go through the earth. It just, like, you realize you're not going to get through. You're going to burn up at the core, right?
Girl. Sometimes it is like that, though.
It is. Oh, God, I love that. That is like one of my favorite like memes from TikTok. It do be that way sometimes.
Hey, oh, well, you got to start over. I feel like two things. One, this is a good place to pause. Two, please come back because obviously y'all have a lot more to say.
Oh my God.
About, I want to get into this. I want to get more into this conversation you just touched on about the black men that I love. It just swept y'all away. I was like, oh, there they go. So yeah, I feel like, can we talk about continuing this? Cause it just feels like it relates to so much like this. Again, everything you said feels like such a microcosmic example that we could just.
That's why we write the magazine. That's why we start a magazine.
Exactly. It is. I think that, thank you so much for that, because that literally sums it up. It's like, it's really a microcosm. It reflects the outside world. It does. Yes, it's like all the same isms.
Mm-hmm.
Make their way in.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. I mean, I'm so excited to sort of have this kind of like, you know, jump in the deep end, just being able to hear you all speak, you know, because I've certainly heard my lovely darling Regine mention all of you in our chit chats and stuff like that. So it's really nice to just experience all of you like this and shining in your bright lights all together. So, you know, and I mean, you know, yeah, here, yeah, hey, black people.
I feel like we're like an improv group now. Like, black people. Go.
No, but this is a good time to wrap things up a bit, but we definitely would love to have you back on so we can have all the tea and the chit chat about what's going on in the world and what's going on within the blurtosphere. As I'm going to call it. So let's leave the audience with your information. Where can we find you? Where can we find the website? What can we look forward to in the coming months? Vinay.
blurredgalaxy.org. You can email us at info@blurredgalaxy.org. That's our email. Our social media is @SoBlurty, right, Marquita?
Yes.
Yes, just @SoBlurty. She runs our social media. So that's where you can hit us up individually. I know we all have our own personal account, but that's where you can find Blurred Galaxy in general. I'll reach out to all of us that way.
Love it.
Okay, yep. Great.
Yes.
So this weekend is ECBOC, the East Coast Black Age of Comic Creators, and they are hosting a E-Philly Con or Philly E-Con, and that's a free event. It's happening, I believe, on Facebook Live, if I'm not mistaken, and they're going to have panels and some other virtual interactive activities, so definitely check them out. They also may be broadcasting on YouTube, but I'm not quite sure, but I know they're definitely doing Facebook Live. We are doing a Wink panel on blurred journalism, and you'll see the ladies again there. And that panel will be at 2:15 East Coast Standard Time. So come check us out. You can comment, you can talk, you can ask questions, all that great stuff. So thanks again to the Blurred Galaxy team, Vinay, Jonita, Marquita, and to my very wonderful Blossom and Brew host, co-host with the most, Miguel Campanero.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having us. I really enjoyed it. It was a great conversation. Thank you for
our little garden, of flowers and tea and beers. Shall we do it?
Yes, we shall. Yes. Take care and be well, y'all. Bye. All right.
Thank you so much.
Bye.